project manager at a construction site building the internet. No, seriously, I'm focused on data center construction. My passion is electrical and mechanical systems. Enough about me. Welcome to the podcast, Doing Girly Things, a podcast focused on breaking down the stereotypes surrounding construction and making construction, working in the field, wearing a hard hat, all girly things to do. In this podcast, we focus on professional development and personal stories from people in construction. This podcast is focused on asking questions to women in the field about their experiences and how to navigate the construction industry. We'll bring on everyone from plumbers, administration, project managers, and even an author or two. The purpose of the podcast is to create a network of women in construction. I've found so many wonderful women whose voices and experiences need to be heard. Every other Monday, a new episode will be released. You can find transcripts on Doing Girly Things website, and the podcast is available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This podcast also talks about grief. Don't worry, I'll put grief in the title. I've used grief from my mother's fatal car accident to shed a light on how to navigate it. I also have episodes from my friend Jacob and his group that work at NASA that are growing the first fruits in space. Lastly, go to the Instagram Doing Girly Things to find out where all the action, or to the website Doing Girly Things with 1G to find the show notes. Hope to see you soon. Today on the podcast Doing Girly Things, I have Anna with Sina Workwear. Like many of you might know the shoe, she has created this shoe that also has steel-toed boots. There's tons of safety features. And so I'm so excited to have her on the podcast to ask her, you know, why she created this workwear. And also just to dive more into how can we create workwear for women that allows women to also want to actually enter into manufacturing in construction workspaces. So Anna has worked as a project manager in manufacturing for 5 years, and much like myself, she was very tired of having to wear men's workwear, but she also didn't want to have to compromise safety. So kind of what I really want to dig into is, how did you go from seeing that there was this problem and so many women struggling with what type of shoe to wear to actually doing something about it and creating your own shoe brand?
Yeah, I never planned to get into the workwear space or specifically make shoes. It's such a complex product. But as you said, I worked in this field myself for so many years, and I was so tired to constantly switch my shoes between important client meetings and the shop floor, the constant back and forth, and decided to start my own company in May of 2019. So it started basically with me working as a project manager for a big manufacturing company, and we had manufacturing and construction projects, and I had to dress professionally in the meetings because, especially as a consultant, it was almost part of my contract that I had to wear a nice blazer and just look put together, and it was impossible having those clunky men's boots. And when I did more research, when I tried to find something more professional, I found out that a lot of the manufacturers use the shrink it and pink it concept, which means that they take a men's boot or a men's jacket, make it smaller and make it pink or purple. And I thought, like, women deserve better products. Like, having a pink boot does not necessarily make me feel confident working with 20 engineers in the room. So yeah, here we are today.
What I like about that too is actually what we joke about doing at work is, if we don't want somebody to take something, we'll make it pink. So we'll make the hard hat pink, we'll make the tools pink, the ruler pink, so that way then it doesn't get stolen. So by shrinking something and making it pink doesn't really mean it's for women. It almost means like it's something that people don't want to use in some of these work environments. And so what I also like about the shoes that you guys have created is, so the pair of shoes, like, they're so cute that you even want to wear them, not even just to work, but you're wearing them out. And so what I really like that you've done is that it is this whole sense of women, they go on the internet and there's nowhere to buy the boots from. And whenever you look at things, Carhartt is one of the most famous brands that people kind of idolize as having like the best workwear. What is kind of your inspiration for like the type of shoe that you guys are trying to create in the sense of keeping it safe, but also keeping it trendy.
Yeah, Carhartt is an amazing company and they create really high quality products. But I think the majority of their design is really focused on men because that's their main market. And I think they are overlooking women's needs at this point. I think more and more companies will finally get into the space and will take women's needs a bit more seriously. How we approach design is we want to create safety footwear for different environments like manufacturing, construction, and over time, we discovered additional fields like, for example, the film and theater industry or the agriculture industry. So more and more women started buying them. But how we come up with the design is we look at the ASTM standards that are required in the United States and then look at what features are actually needed or incredibly important in certain fields, like a slip-resisting outsole is a must-have for most environments. So we use rubber outsole for the Gravity model or dual density outsole for the Omega, where you have a part of the outsole is a PU for a lighter weight, but the piece that it touches the ground, the contact area is rubber. All of our shoes have a steel toe cap built in. That's another must have. And then over time, we designed shoes based on customer needs. They said, okay, we need ankle coverage in construction. So we came up with the Omega boot where you have ankle coverage in addition to the steel toe cap and a slip resisting outsole. And it has an electric hazard certification. Another boot has an ESD rating. ESD is basically needed in environments where you, for example, work with highly flammable materials or in chip manufacturing. All of us have experienced this moment in our life when you touch a door handle or your car and cause a spark. That can be very dangerous when you're working with flammable materials, or you could destroy a multi-million dollar chip just by touching it. So that's where ESD comes in. And so safety is one aspect of it. The other aspect I take into account is we want to design shoes that will be timeless and can be dressed up or down, because sometimes we have to be in a fancy meeting room presenting to a new client or be in a boardroom. And then the next moment, you may have to be on the shop floor construction site. So we want our shoes to be incredibly versatile. It makes me incredibly happy that women even wore them to a happy hour after work. Like, nothing makes me happier than this. Part of the inspiration comes from the Patagonia founder, Yvan Chouinard. Like, he designs things that you can get the most use out of wearing them in different environments. So, and we're not trying not to chase the latest fashion trends. For example, we don't want someone to buy the boots and realize they will go out of style in a season and throw them away. So sustainability is incorporated by creating something that will last a long time.
I love that, how you've combined the two different styles of design with like the safety side of it, but also the longevity of the product, because sometimes there is some of this like planned obsolescence of like, you make something so then people have to buy it more. But with what you guys are creating, it really is a shoe that is timeless. And so for you, what was the biggest learning curve whenever switching from the manufacturing side of engineering to being more of the product developer? Did you have to learn more about how to develop the product, or really what was the biggest difference going from manufacturing to product design?
There was a huge difference from going from a consulting role where you have very scheduled hours from 8 to 4 or 5 p.m. in the evening. And then you can take your weekends off. It's very structured. Starting a business is one of the most exciting, but also one of the most difficult things I have ever done in my life. I knew this before. I heard this so many times. But then when you actually try to do it yourself, you realize like, holy cow, like this is very challenging. So I had zero knowledge about footwear manufacturing and design. So I had to, first of all, learn everything myself about American ASTM standards. I had to learn like, how do you create a tech pack, find the right people, how to make it happen. And the product is just one part of the puzzle, finding where to send them into a lab and go through all the necessary testing to get the certification. But then the other aspect is like, how the hell do you market it? How do you sell it? Initially, we thought we will be just selling directly to manufacturing facilities here. So we thought the easy way will be, we'll just show up at these facilities and we'll start like small. And over time, we discovered that an online shop is so much more successful. So many women, now more women across 50 states purchase our boots. They discover us online. We try to make the process of shipping and exchanging, and if you don't really like them, returning, very easy, and provide a really good customer service. That's one of our goals. So try to make it an overall really nice experience.
And so whenever you went from going from working as a project manager in manufacturing to starting up this company, did you at one point, were you working both jobs or did you do a complete switch between?
I did for part of the time, I did have two jobs. Basically, I was about to quit my full-time job, but then the company convinced me to stay on longer because they had another huge project that was coming up. And I told them, fine, I will stay on, but as long as I can be flexible enough. I said, if I have enough work, I will be there. But then if there's not enough work for me to do, I just want to go home and work on my own project. Because in many cases, I felt like I was not challenged enough. And I thought I have so much more potential. There's so much more I want to do. I just didn't want to sit around. And sometimes you get paid for not doing work, but they want you to be on site, which I always hated. So that's why I said, hey, let's have this arrangement. I will work. I think I worked about 30 hours a week and then had one day where I could work on the project for a whole day. But then over time, I took on more and more projects and I was working with a client in Milwaukee and then at the headquarters in Chicago. So I was traveling back and forth and realized I started to get burned out because I was working in the business on weekends and in the evenings. And there was one time when we got accepted into an accelerator program called G-Beta in Milwaukee. And I thought, if I don't quit my job now, I may never fully realize my business, kind of my business goal and try to launch the company because you can't, it's just very challenging to do both at the same time. So I made the tough decision, quit my full-time job. I still have an amazing relationship with my clients and my company. Decided to go into this accelerator program. And during the 7 weeks, we launched the website, released the product, placed the first order. So that's when it officially happened.
So that accelerator program really was kind of the launching pad for you starting the company and making the website and the first actual shoe to be purchased.
Yeah, that was kind of a set time and I had to commit to it fully and wanted to give it a shot because, you know, I think so many people have amazing ideas. Many of them are $1 million ideas, but we're so afraid to take the first step and test it out because we're all so afraid to fail. And that was kind of one of the biggest lessons for me as well, completely redefining the definition of failure. Because when you start a business, it's only a question of time when you will fail with the first thing. And a huge mentor to me is Sarah Blakely. I love all of her content, the founder of Sphinx. And she says, failure is not the outcome. Failure is not trying. So that's how I try to approach things when something fails along the way.
That is so true, because it really is how you think about what failure is. Because Einstein said there's just all these different ways to not make a light bulb.
Exactly. I love that.
Like, I didn't fail. It's just all these different ways to not make one.
Exactly.
Oh, so I found this quote online whenever I was looking up women's workwear just to see what there was. And I want to read this little excerpt that I found from industrialworkwear.com. Engineering is 87% male, construction 89%, manufacturing 71%. I think you get the picture. But why is any of this relevant? Why is the truth that the industry as a whole can only supply people for those to come to? But there's another aspect to this issue. In order to get more women to take up roles in the industry, it's vital and important that we begin to make more choices for women in terms of clothing. Why is that important? If women see no clothing choices for them in the industry, in the job that they want to get, why on earth would they go into that industry? And that almost gives me goosebumps reading it, because that is really why I am very passionate about the podcast, doing girly things and just how to make it so that way women want to see themselves in these positions, but also wearing clothes that fits them. And I feel like that is very much the same theme throughout your company as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think you mentioned a super important thing. It's about seeing more women in these spaces. And I think we need to showcase more successful role models in these more male-dominated fields right now. Because when girls grow up, for some reason, around the age between 12 to 14, that's a study that I read, a lot of girls lose confidence that they can do math and physics, and they think that they don't belong into the science fields and they don't belong into trades. They're not supposed to do certain things. There are so many amazing professions. Our goal is to showcase more stories of women. You can be a badass working in manufacturing and construction, and it's an incredibly fascinating careers that are well paid, and you don't have to lose your femininity. You can. Some of the stories that I love to showcase, one of my friends, Narissa, she's an engineer at Harley Davidson. So part of the day, she's just getting dirty, building and testing motors, or she's training a group of girls how to build motorcycles. And then another picture that you see of her, she would be wearing a beautiful long dress and a hat and be 100% feminine. So I think we want to showcase these stories of women who are doing these jobs passionately and just showing like this is just another opportunity and you should seriously explore it, because these are, again, super fun careers that allow you to have an impact in the world, and the good payment is another bonus to it as well.
Well, and that's what I'm always telling people. I'm like, they pay you a lot to do this sort of thing too, is you get to, like, what I do is I get to wear a hard hat and walk around a job site, and somebody's paying you good money to do that. And like, it's a job that women can do, but they just need to see themselves in those shoes. In the way that I have described myself, I was talking with a friend and I accidentally used like the male pronoun to describe myself. And she was a psychologist. And she said that that's actually a product of having to wear men's clothes, is that you yourself start talking about yourself in the clothing that you're wearing, not in the gender that you've taken on. But because I have to wear men's clothes all day, I start to talk about myself as a male.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And one aspect is showing more role models. And I think we all are most successful when we feel like our authentic selves. And I think clothing has a huge impact on it. What you wear impacts how you feel, how you show up, how you enjoy your day. When I had to wear my clunky work boots, I personally felt like a clown. I was, instead of being focused on the job, I was thinking like, oh my God, when can I get back to my desk and put these off? And I had multiple pairs and they all looked ridiculous and were uncomfortable. So the way clothes make you feel is one aspect. The other incredibly important aspect is the fit of PPE. Women's and men's bodies are shaped differently. We have slightly different feet. We have different torso shapes, even our head protection. We need PPE that actually fits well in order to be safe on the job. So right now I'm struggling with all of these safety vests that are way too big for women. So there's a need to design something that fits well, that women can perform their jobs, including gloves. There's a whole list of things that we at some point need to get to. But the biggest pain point right now is safety shoes, and our main focus will always stay on that, trying to solve it for in different industries.
So what is the future, what you guys are looking at? Is it looking at more safety shoes, or is it looking at expanding to the different other types of PPE within workwear?
You know, it almost happened organically that after we launched the very first model, we received a million different emails from women saying like, thank you so much for finally designing a safety shoe that I enjoy to wear. Can you also please design X, Y, and Z? So the list was so long. So that's when the additional safety shoes got developed. But then the list grew into additional products. One thing that we launched already is more functional blazers. And was mainly driven by my own experience working in manufacturing. When I walked out on the shop floor, I was so frustrated with all of my clothing not having pockets. A lot of women, if you check your pants pockets, your blazer pockets, they're all fake or super tiny. So I designed blazers that have real pockets and have certain features for a batch loop, for the jewelry class, because a lot of manufacturing facilities don't allow jewelry inside. And I wanted to make them machine washable, because who has time to go to a dry cleaner? And sometimes we're in fancy conference rooms and the next minute on a dirty, dusty shop floor or dirty construction site. So I wanted the clothes to be machine washable. And from the style, it helped, they help you to look put together in an office setting, but also are more functional and approachable outside of it, kind of, and can be dressed up or down. And ideally, someone would wear them to work, to the office, to the job site, and even to dinner afterwards. That's basically the main goal with them. And over time, we will work on additional products. So there's more to come. So the feedback, we take the feedback seriously. Please, all the ladies who are listening to this, if you have ideas, send us an email to support@zenaworkwear.com or to me directly, Anastasia@zenaworkwear.com, and we'll add them to the list and we'll execute as much as we can with our small team, one by one.
Well, that is so cool that a lot of these ideas have really come from community support after they bought the first pair. We like this. This is so great. Can you please make more of XYZ?
Exactly.
So you've mentioned it a little bit before, but talk about the different committees that you're on regarding safety now that you've gotten into this space with the safety workwear.
Yeah, so far I'm part of the ESCM committee, which basically creates the standards for footwear in the US. A few other countries accept the ESCM standards as well. There's CSA in Canada, there's ISO in Germany or Europe. So different countries have different standards, but I'm part of ESCM and it's incredibly interesting to see the progress that is being made right now. There's a project where different members work on a new metatarsal standard. There's a standard for protecting not only the toe cap area, but also the metatarsal bones. There was finally a test that was passed for slip resistance, because before that it was kind of not a pass or fail type of deal. The next thing I want to work on is to add more clarity on the heel height. The US doesn't have any heel height limitations. And what happens is some companies come up with their own random limitation, let's say 1 inch, and they don't realize that most men's boots are over an inch high. So I just want to avoid, and Canadian standards actually have a heel height limitation. So I'm working with a small team to kind of add more clarity to standards and help everyone abide by the same rules and avoid the confusion for manufacturing and construction companies with that as well.
Oh, so what will happen then is a certain company will say it has to be less than 1 inch, and then because it's more noticeable on women's workwear boots. Is that the concern of it? Yeah.
Oh, basically, there are even women's shoes that are higher. But basically, the overall rule is as long as it looks ugly, everyone is fine with that. If you make something nice, suddenly it's like, huh, this is questionable. So we want to help avoid confusion and provide some guidance for everyone involved.
In looking at what women wear, it is everything about it. Like what you're saying is as soon as it's something nice, like the heel, you make something nice, people all of a sudden start to pay attention to it. And so really standardizing it so that way then we're all playing by the same rules and making sure that men are just as safe as women. And so it's cool that you've now had the involvement to change those rules and able to kind of just be firsthand in there. What have you looked at as far as the evolution of women's workwear in the past couple years? Have you noticed anything, or are we still at this cusp of really starting to see some change?
What I've seen during the last couple of years is actually women stepping up and launching workwear companies themselves. A good example is Hot Work. This woman worked in the oil and gas industry, and she was just so tired to wear like these oversized men's coveralls. So she designed one for herself that actually fit well. And more women started asking her to create one for them. So she launched this company called Hot Work, making these beautiful FR coveralls. Then we have Dovetail that started making better pants. They're incredibly durable. then started by three women. You have See Her Work that started making better gloves because she had this experience wearing like terrible oversized gloves that would fall off her hands. Yeah, there's a lot that is happening in the market. So different women in this different industries stepping up and fixing the problem themselves. I think this is an amazing movement. And I think this will push the bigger companies to take women's needs more seriously. Hopeful.
Do you ever think we'll get to a day where there's just a woman's workwear boutiques instead, like the men's workwear?
I hope so. Like, our goal is to be the go-to company for women in STEM and the trades. It will take a long time to get there because we set very high standards for everything we design and develop. But I think there's definitely a need, and there's room for multiple people to be in that space. And, you know, right now when women ask me for a recommendation for a certain product or ask me to develop something that we currently don't have, I actually point them in the direction of these existing companies. Like, okay, I don't have it for you now. We may work in it in the future, but in the meantime, check out company XYZ, whatever those are that I'm aware of.
Because there is, I think that, and I've talked about this in a previous episode about how sometimes it feels like there's this competition between you and other women, but we're at this stage right now where there's enough space for all of us. There's enough market for us all to have a business right now. And like you're saying, like, just because you make the best shoe doesn't mean that somebody else making the best overalls, you can't send them over there and you're not losing business. And it kind of goes back to that saying where it's like, just by sharing, like lighting somebody else's candle doesn't mean that makes yours any dimmer. And so really, I love you saying that because it is so true. And so the ability to uplift people and that there is enough space for all women to start businesses, because there's a huge need for women's workwear. And you've told your stories and I have many other stories of just like so many embarrassing moments. For example, like very much like your shoe story, I was in like very high voltage, dangerous areas wearing boots that I got from Kohl's. That was the only work boots that I knew of. When I found your guys' shoes, it was kind of like one of those things. It was like, you know, I'm in these like these dangerous places. Like I need anti-slip on my boots. I need steel-toed. And so I think it's also educating women that they do have the option to be safe. I love what you guys are doing with creating shoes that you can feel comfortable giving a presentation, but also walking around a construction site minutes later.
No, I'm so glad that you have experience with the previous products and that you have a pair of our boots. It makes me so happy. And the fact that you wore them too at happy hour, that's so cool.
So any of my listeners listening, you guys have seen me wear them. There's this whole hashtag called Stomping Out Stereotypes. And so today I'm going to this salsa dancing class. It's kind of something that I've found a lot of fun in doing, is like learning salsa dancing. And so the whole point of the post is like showing women wearing one shoe and then the other shoe. Just like the symbolism of a shoe is like, it's the different shoes that you put on to go do these events. And so you can be a woman that's also wearing salsa dancing shoes on a Sunday night, and then come Monday morning, you're wearing your steel-toed boots and able to go out on the construction site.
I love that.
I have our final question for us. So I have these questions, these best sell questions, and they're just a deeper question. I've really enjoyed using them at the end of the podcast to kind of just dig a little bit deeper and ask questions that I hadn't already thought of. So I've picked two categories for us, and then let me know which category you would like, and then I'll read the question. So dreams or beliefs?
Both are really good. Let's do beliefs.
Beliefs. What is your definition of success?
Oh my God, that's a long topic.
This question, this is kind of a hard one. There is so many different ways that you guys could take this, is because you have like had like a successful business with starting a company, but what does defining success mean as far as creating a workwear for women?
Yeah, the way I dealt with the question is probably for me personally, because starting a company was so incredibly difficult. And I actually completely had to redefine kind of the meaning of success. I think it happened early 2020. So in the beginning, when we launched the company, I thought that I can work nonstop. We worked 7 days a week without any vacation time. And then I thought I accepted multiple speaking events at different conferences. But then I got to a point when I had like 3 trips in a row where I would land in the evening, unpack in the morning, go to a speaking event in the morning, repack my suitcase, fly to Germany. By the end of that, I think it was a 3-week trip, I got completely burnt out. And while I'm naturally an introvert. While I was at a conference in Atlanta, it was actually the SCM conference, my team kept bugging me about like, hey, why are you not responding to emails? I'm like, guys, I'm at a conference. Like I got to a point where I completely got burnt out because I had to speak to hundreds of people at the conference all day and then try to catch up with emails. And I'm like, okay, I can't. And because part of the trip in Germany, I tried to spend some time with family, but it was this nonstop feeling of guilt because every time I took a break, I felt guilty about not working. And every time my mom asked me like, hey, do you want to go for a walk with us? I'm like, no, mom, I'm working. Can you guys go by yourself? I felt guilty that I'm like, now I'm here in Germany and like, I'm being so rude to my parents. And the constant feeling of guilt and being overwhelmed all the time really got me to a bad place. I felt like totally miserable. So I had to completely create a new definition of success, meaning like, okay, I don't want to lose my health. It's incredibly important that I get my sleeping schedule in order. I decided to finally take a break. I decided to take Saturdays off and I would take Saturday and Sunday off. And I'm like, okay, I have to eat healthier and like set certain boundaries for myself. And then having a good relationship to a few close friends and of my family, I thought, okay, what's the point of like building a huge multi-million-dollar company if by the end I will not have any friends and a shitty relationship with my husband and potentially get divorced and like don't have any good relationships with my family? So I said like, okay, I have to find this balance between building the business but maintaining some of the most important relationships that I have and try to completely enjoy work more and like stop feeling pressured all the time on some days. And like started listening to my body a bit more. On some days I can work until 8 p.m. On other days I feel exhausted by 3 p.m. and said like, you know, now I'm just going to listen to a podcast or read a book. I think that is basically my new definition of success, trying to balance different things that are important in my life. And I think everyone should have their own definition. We should step away from this definition that society puts on us that we need to have this size of a house, this type of car, this type of money. Like, I think it's so much more helpful to step away from expectations of others and think about what is truly important for yourself.
I love how it's basically like making success a feeling versus like an end goal and making it more about the journey. And I do definitely agree with that because I'm laughing at what you said. I gave myself Saturdays off. I definitely do feel that where it's like you're grinding. And then what are you grinding really for if at the end of all of this, you have this big pile of money, but nobody wants to hang out with you and do anything and or talk to you. And so making sure the journey to what you think is successful doesn't actually compromise what success is. And that was a difficult question. I was a little worried whenever I picked that one to read. I was like, this is a hard one. It is about the journey and making sure that you're enjoying the steps of becoming an entrepreneur. And like what you're doing right now is working with all the different safety committees and not just creating a shoe brand that you're hoping to just sell. It's actually changing cultures within different industries.
Mm-hmm. It's so rewarding to create products that I'm proud of, focusing instead of pushing something to the launch. I love to take the time to create a really nice quality product. And I learned so much in the process. So just being able to run a company that has at least a tiny impact in women's lives and makes them feel better and safer makes me so happy. So that's part of success to me.
Well, you have definitely made an impact in my life, so I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate you for coming on the podcast and sharing your journey. And I can't wait to wear your shoes, also see what new product you've come out with that you can't share quite yet.
It's hopefully coming soon. It's been a frustrating project, but I hope we're getting close.
Well, awesome. And just one last time, I'm sure people have caught the name, but where can we find you? Website and Instagram? How can we get a hold of a pair of the boots?
Our website is zenaworkwear.com, and Zena spelled X-E-N-A. And then you can find us on Instagram at zenaworkwear. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I would love to do that. That's my favorite social media platform. I go by Anna Kraft, but my full name on LinkedIn is Anastasia Kraft. So send me a connection request. We'd love to connect with more women in the field and learn from you and get your input on new product development ideas.
Well, thank you. And I, of course, will link everything below in the show notes. And yes, have a wonderful day. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I hope to meet you in person someday.
Me too, very much. Thank you.